Hi, and welcome to Student Voice Weekly. I'm Dr. Stuart Gray, founder of Student Voice, and today I'd like to talk about belonging and why it so often rises or falls on everyday contact and the small, repeated moments in teaching that decide whether students feel part of the place. Belonging is a word universities use a lot, strategies, campaigns, events, but when you look at what students are actually saying in comments, it's much more practical and much more ordinary. Do you know who to sit with in a seminar? Can you ask a question without feeling exposed? Does anyone learn your name? Do you have a reason to speak to the same people twice? Are staff interactions human, predictable, and easy to access? In my part-time teaching, you can see this in real time. Two rooms can have the same content and the same slides, but totally different student experience. The key thing is the social design of learning. Who speaks? Who stays quiet? Whether students feel they have permission to participate, and whether the course creates natural routes into peer connection. In the main story this week, I want to pull together two research signals that point in the same direction and then turn them into things you can actually do with feedback. The first signal comes from Hannah Sung and Guanglun Michael Mu's paper, International Student Wellbeing and Everyday Community Engagement Experiences, an Australian study. It is qualitative research on international student well-being, and a theme that comes through strongly is this idea of being socially peripheral. Support services can exist, induction can happen, workshops can run, and students can still feel outside the everyday community of the course. What matters here is how students experience support. Universities often think in terms of provision. Have we got the service? Have we got the web page? Students experience it as access plus comfort plus confidence. Can I walk into that space without feeling like I'm intruding? Do I understand the unwritten rules? Do I have someone to go with? Can I contribute without worrying I'll get it wrong? And the research points you back to everyday engagements, small routine interactions with staff, low stakes contact with peers, familiarity built over time. Those are the conditions that support well-being. The big welcome event is fine, but it does not compensate for a day-to-day academic life that feels isolating. So here's the practical implication for UK universities. When international students say, I don't feel confident speaking in class, or I don't know how to approach lecturers, or group work is awkward, or I feel left out, you should treat that as well-being evidence and learning evidence, not just social experience. If you are peripheral, you take fewer academic risks, you ask fewer questions, you avoid office hours, you keep your head down in group tasks, then continuation risk rises and attainment gaps become more likely. The comment was an early signal. The second research signal comes from Ksenia Vilkova, Oksana Dremova, and Irina Shaglova's paper. The power of friendship and study collaboration on the development of students' sense of belonging. A 3-year longitudinal study at Russian universities. The study finds that friendship formation and collaborative study are strong predictors of belonging. That matters because a common institutional reflex is to locate belonging mainly in extracurricular life, societies, and events. Those help, but the research keeps pulling you back to the course itself. If you want belonging to be more than a slogan, make sure the curriculum creates repeated opportunities for students to meet, talk, and work together in ways that feel safe. Make sure those interactions happen early. Once a student settles into a pattern of being alone, it can be hard to reverse. So what does that look like in practice? Seminar formats where students speak to each other, not only to the tutor. Group tasks that are designed with roles, expectations, and support, not just assigned. Stable small groups long enough for trust to form. Clear norms about participation, so quieter students, commuter students, and international students know what good looks like without having to guess. Now, across the sector, there are two updates this week that change the evidence burden for student experience teams. First is the Department for Education guidance on franchise arrangements in England. It reads technical, but it will land quickly in quality and student experience work. With registration requirements for larger franchise providers and key decision points coming, lead providers will need to show they understand and can evidence the student experience across delivery partners. The practical consequence is comparability. Can you look across partners and spot patterns early using the same definitions and the same tools, module evaluation themes, complaints, reps, open comments? If your categories and question sets differ by partner, you end up with noise and you lose the ability to act before problems escalate. So if you're in a lead provider role, make sure you have a consistent feedback framework across partners and make sure changes to surveys and coding are logged. Otherwise, you will argue about whether an outlier is real when the real issue is that you measured it differently. Second, a smaller change with immediate impact on data quality. JISC Online Surveys has added a none-of-the-above option to multi-answer questions, as that sounds minor, but if you've ever analysed survey results where respondents were forced to pick something even when nothing fit, you'll know how quickly you can generate misleading patterns. So if you use JISC templates locally, make sure you update them consistently and record when the logic changed. If you do year-on-year comparisons, measurement changes can look like performance changes. Let me bring this back to student comments because this is where teams can make fast progress. When you read comments about belonging, international experience, and well-being, try sorting them by what they are evidence of, not only what they mention on the surface. A comment like, seminars are intimidating, people don't talk, often gets filed under teaching delivery, but it can be evidence about belonging and confidence. Group work is stressful, might be evidence about assessment design and also about peer connection routes. I don't know anyone on my course is a social statement and a curriculum design statement. And staff are friendly, but I still feel outside is a warning sign that provision exists, but integration is not happening in the learning environment. The risk is bundling all of this into a broad community theme and then struggling to act. Actions sit in different places: seminar facilitation, group work design, participation norms, timetabling and cohort stability, staff development around inclusive interaction. Those are all very practical levers. One point that keeps coming up, especially for international students, is language confidence. Universities often route that straight to skills support. Students often experience it as a relational barrier. If you worry you'll sound wrong, you avoid speaking. If you avoid speaking, you struggle to form friendships and study partnerships. So when you see language in the comments, make sure you also ask what the course is doing to make contribution normal and safe. A practical exercise to try this week is a quick audit I call Roots into Connection. Take one program, ideally a large first year, and map the first four teaching weeks. Where exactly are students required to interact with peers in a structured, low-stakes way? Where will they meet the same people more than once? Where is there a reason to exchange contact details? Where do staff set participation norms clearly? Then take a sample of your existing student comments and test them against that map. If students report isolation and your map shows almost no structured interaction until later in the term, that's a design outcome. If students say they only made friends in one specific type of class, that tells you where connection is already working and where to invest. If you can, take that map into a program team meeting. Keep it constructive. The point is to make belonging visible as a design parameter, like assessment load or contact hours, and to use student comments as evidence of where the design is helping or hindering. All right, that's it for this week. The full links and summaries are in the newsletter. You can subscribe at studentvoice.ai. And if this episode was useful, please could you follow or subscribe to the podcast, share it with a colleague working on teaching or student experience, or leave a quick review wherever you listen. It helps more of the right people find it.